As I was studying the Word of God this week, my study and my Bible reading led me to the book of Isaiah, and that's where I'm going to be preaching this morning, is the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to be in chapter number 40. Isaiah is such an interesting book, and the blessings that are in the pages of the Word of God is amazing to me. And I noticed when you get to Isaiah chapter number 40, it's like the scripture, the book of Isaiah, takes a turn. And from Isaiah chapter 40 all the way to the end of the book of Isaiah, it's a blessing. All of it's a blessing, but it takes a turn in chapter number 40. And a lot of people says that this 40th chapter typifies the end of the testing time for the nation of Israel. And the scriptures begins to make a turn here in Isaiah 40. The thought that's on my heart this morning is the very first verse of Isaiah chapter 40 in verse number 1, where it says this. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. I want to preach a message this morning on that thought of verse number 1. Comfort my people. Comfort my people. When I begin to study this chapter and begin to look through verse by verse, that word comfort there means to console. It means to ease, and it means to comfort people who are afflicted and people who are oppressed. When I begin to study about the nation of Israel at this time in Isaiah's writing of chapter number 40, we find that God's people had been taken captive by Babylon. We find that Jerusalem was in ruins. We find that the land was waste and desolate. You can find all of those in Isaiah 44, Isaiah 64, and the condition of the nation of Israel. And then I begin to think on this thought. What can we say, or what can I say, to comfort people who is going through things in this day? What could I say? So many different thoughts begin to come to my mind. I tried to send out some text messages this week to try to encourage some people. I received some messages this week from some folks that wanted to encourage me, and I'm thankful for every one of them. The Lord began to deal with me of how many people need comfort right now. They need their minds to be set at ease. They need their hearts to not to fear. I begin to think about people right now who maybe feels like that things are not going the way that they should. Maybe some feels like that their life has been turned upside down, and it's kind of like total chaos. Everything, everyone is out of their normal routine. Think about those that are afflicted, those that are oppressed. But more than anything, those who are experiencing right now the fear of the unknown, not knowing what's coming up next, not really knowing how long this pandemic and the shutdown in our state is going to last in our country, not really knowing the fear of the unknown. For those who are seniors in high school, the fear of, will I walk across the stage? Will I graduate with my peers, with my classmates? The fear of the family that's planned their vacation for the summer. Will we even get to go? But greater than that, the fear of those who are losing jobs and being laid off and trying to figure out what are we going to do, and the millions that are having to try to get unemployment in the day that we're living in. And then next Sunday, being Easter Sunday, what are we going to do? Do we have a service? Do we not have a service? Do we do what we're doing now? It's just the fear of the unknown. The Lord began to deal with me. We can offer our thoughts. I can share with you my thoughts, and others can share, and we can try to encourage one another, or we can offer God's Word. We can make our promises. I'll stand here and I'll promise you this. Or we can depend on God's promises. We can tell them how big or how knowledgeable or how wise we are, or we can share and tell how big our God is and how knowledgeable and how wise God is. We can guess. Every single one of us, we can all guess. We can watch the news, whatever news media you prefer. You can watch the news and they can guess, and that's really all they're doing. This will peak here, or this will happen here, and things will begin to get back. It's just all a guess. We can guess, or we can share the truth of the Scriptures and know that God's Word will stand when everything else fails. I begin to think and pray about this message this morning, and I truly feel that the Lord wants me through His Word to comfort you, to bring you comfort today. But I also believe that God wants you, whoever you are that is listening right now, to take this same Scripture and be a comfort to others. I believe that's very important in the day and the hour that we're living in. So number one, I believe that the Lord would want all of us as believers to comfort God's people and to be a comfort to others who are struggling with whatever it is in their life that they're struggling with now. So let's pray that God would allow us to be a comfort through His Word. Look in verse number 8 of this chapter with me, Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 8. It said, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." And I'm thankful for that promise in God's Word. The grass dries up, the flowers, they one day they'll bloom and then they're all going to fall away. But the word of God shall stand forever. God's promises shall be firm, and it'll last forever and forever. God's Word is truth, and we're serving a big God. I didn't realize, which was amazing to me, I've always thought, man, God is big. God's Word is important. But when I began to study Isaiah chapter number 40, I was reminded of just how big and how mighty and how knowledgeable our God really is. It's amazing to me. When you're in Isaiah chapter number 40 and you begin in verse number 12, we're reminded of how big our God really is. Look at verse 12 with me. "Who hath measured the water in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." When I begin to study this question of verse number 12, the Lord began to deal with me about just how big our God is. Our God is so big that He measures all the waters in the hollows of His hand. That means in the palm of God's hand. I begin to think of the Pacific Ocean takes up over a quarter of the entire planet. Begin to think of the Atlantic Ocean that touches America and Africa and even up into Europe. The Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, the Southern Antarctic Ocean, the Mediterranean and the Black Sea. And to think, I just want to remind us, and to think in our minds to be able to comprehend that the God that you and I are serving can hold all of that in the palm of His hand. What a mighty God that we serve. If you will, just take a minute if you're there and the Word of God is in your lap. Turn over to chapter number 41 and look at verse number 10 with me when we're speaking of God's mighty hand. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I just want to remind all of us this morning that we're serving a big God. And so many times you and I can be taken by surprise. You and I, something can happen and we'll say, I can't believe that this is going on. And we'll say, oh no, how's it going to work? And oh man, how are we going to figure all this out? I need and you need to realize that we're serving a big God who holds all of the waters, measured all of it out. That's amazing to me. Measured it all out in the palm of his hand. We're serving a big God. I can remember as a little kid, and I didn't go to church, but I can remember as a little kid that we'd learned this song, he's got the whole world in his hands. And you and I need to be reminded of that this morning. That word meted, that means that in verse number 12 it says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span. I began to think about that word meted means he measured out the heavens with a span. We realize that the hollow of his hand is the palm of God's hand, and the span is the distance between the thumb and the little finger. And I begin to think about just how big and how mighty our God is. That God measured out all the waters, had all of that in the palms of his hand. But then he stretched his hand out over the heavens. How big is our God? From the thumb to the little finger. God can cover the whole universe with his hand. I begin to study, there's billions of galaxies, and our God's hand can measure and cover them all. I can remember as a young Christian, I was talking to an older gentleman one time, and he said, you know how big our God is? And I said, no. I said, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, and I believe he was the very Son of God, but I don't know how big God is. And he said, you see all of this when you look up into the sky? He said, you see all of that? And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, our God fills it all. And I thought, man, we're serving a big God. God can cover the whole universe with his hand. Then he says, comprehend the dust of the earth, to measure the dirt of the earth. He says he can weigh the mountains on scales. Look at verse number 13 when it says, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him. Verse 14, with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Begin to think about how big our God is. That all the nations, it didn't say, was as big as buckets and buckets and buckets full of water. But he says all of the nations as one little drop in a bucket. And he takes all of the islands into his hands. I'm thinking, wow, how big is our God? The Lord began to deal with me about that as I was studying Isaiah chapter number 40. And I began to think about this. How many times in my life or in your life have I ever thought, God, do you understand what I'm going through? God, do you understand my life? Does anybody know, or can I get any kind of answer, or can I get any kind of help? And it just seems like sometimes that God is so far away, but yet we realize he's only one prayer away in our lives as Christians. I begin to think about just how big our God is. I was reading in this chapter, and it led me to verse 17 and 18. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are accounted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The Lord began to deal with me. There is no one that compares to our God. There is nothing that compares to our God. Nothing. No one. There is nothing or no one that has the wisdom that our God has, the understanding that he has. The Bible teaches us, and I've shared this before, that his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, and His ways are so much deeper and higher than our ways. This chapter goes on, and it begins in verse number 26, and it reminds us to take our eyes and to look upward. To take our eyes and to look up into the skies. And what it's teaching us in this chapter is to go out into the night, look up into the heavens, and look at all of the stars that is in the skies. That's in this same chapter. He said, I want you to look at them. And I began to study about the Milky Way having 300 billion stars in the skies. 300 billion stars in the skies. And the book of Isaiah says, take your eyes and look up. And then it reminds us that God knows every single one of those stars by name. Every single one of them, 300 billion stars, God knows every single one of them by name, and He said every single one of them will not fail. I'm just trying to remind you and bring you comfort today and try to help us to realize that we're serving a big God. I mean, just how big is our God? That the God that you and I are serving, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners such as you and I. And to think that we are serving a God that is so big that He can hold all the waters in the palm of His hand. He can take the span of His hand and He can stretch it out over all of the heavens. And He can look up into the heavens, we can, and over 300 billion stars, He knows everything about every single one of them and can call all of them by name. I just want to remind us today that we are serving a big God. We're serving the God of the universe. We're not serving some God that's made out of gold. We're not serving a God that's made out of silver or brass or wood. We are serving a God that has ears to hear and eyes to see and feet that can walk and hands that can touch. We are serving a mighty God today. And we need to take comfort in that. Just how big our God is. He knows all. He understands all. If our God knows the name of over 300 billion stars, and if our God knows the flight of every single sparrow that flies all over this world, then you and I need to take comfort and know that God knows us. The Bible teaches us that the Lord knows us by name. And the Lord even knows so much about us. The Bible teaches that the very hairs of your head is numbered. God knows our down sittings. He knows our uprisings. He knows everything about us. God knows our frustrations. God knows our fears. God knows what's in our hearts. God knows more than anyone on the planet, anyone in the universe. And that God sent His Son and the Holy Spirit that dwells in our lives as believers. We ought to be able to take comfort, and we are serving. Listen, we are serving. Listen, we are serving a big and a mighty God today. And I'm so thankful for that. Then it leads us to the last of Isaiah chapter number 40. And this is when the Lord really began to deal with me. Look at verse number 27 of Isaiah 40. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Why would we even ever think in our hearts that God don't know where we're at? How would we ever even imagine in our lives, God, do you know what I'm dealing with? Do you know what's going on in America? Do you know that we're not having church? Do you know that people are losing their jobs? God, do you know? God, do you understand? God, are you feeling what we are feeling? Think about what we just read. Think about how big our God is. Think about what our God knows. And think about His knowledge. And His wisdom and His understanding. And then we ask that question, God, do you know? Let me remind all of us, He knows. That tears me up just to think that He knows. The God that we are serving, He knows what's on your mind before you lay down at night. He knows what burden you woke up with this morning, because God knows all. And I'm so thankful for that. He knows. If if he knows every star, if he knows every sparrow, and he feeds them every day, how much more does he want to take care of his children? I pray, as I was reading Isaiah chapter number 40, I pray, as verse number 1 says, and I'll read it again, comfort ye my people, saith your God. If you're talking to someone this week and they say, man, I don't know what to do, remind them how big our God is. If you're talking to someone this week and they have lost their job or they get laid off, remind them of how big our God is. If you're talking to someone and they say, when are we ever going to get to go back to church? Remind them of how big our God is. And if you're at home today and you're sitting there and you're trying to figure out what are we going to do, I want to remind you just how big our God is. I want to try to comfort you, not with my thoughts, not with my wisdom, not with my understanding, but with the Word of God that shall stand forever and forever and forever. The Word of God that is truth. And we can stand on the promises in this book. Comfort ye one another that God knows. Then I read 28, verses 28 through 31. And I'll share a couple of thoughts here. I like what he says. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a mighty God we serve. What Isaiah is saying in verse number 28, after we have read and we've looked at all that is being said in these 31 verses, what he is saying is, hey, listen, do you not know? Oh, man, that tore me up. It was like the Lord was dealing with me. Hey, Keith, do you not know how big I am? Have you forgot? And then he goes on and he says, the everlasting God, have you not heard? Have you never heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not? He don't get weary? Have you forgot about that son? Have you forgot about that child of God? Have we forgotten just how big our God is? Let us all be reminded how big he is and what he knows. As I began to study that, I thought, wow, that means to recall and recollect. It says that God faileth not, he fainteth not, neither does he get weary. That means he does not tire and God does not exhaust. I got tickled as we walked into the service. Miss Ava come walking in and she looked so sleepy. And I said, Ava, are you okay? And she just kind of looked at me and smiled. And Miss Keela said, oh, we worked hard yesterday in the yard. We picked up sticks and we cleaned around, I think, over at Papaw's. And they'd wash cars and they'd worked out in the yard, and she's just tired when she walked into church this morning. But let me remind you that God does not get tired. Our God this morning, he didn't say, oh, I'm wore out. I'm exhausted. There's been too much going on. I don't understand. God does not wear out, and he does not get tired. And our God this morning is not weary trying to figure out how he's going to fix things. We're serving an everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. And I begin to think, what does this God give to his children? This mighty God that we serve, this God that holds all of the waters in the palm of his hand, this God who takes his hand, his span of his hand, and it outstretches all of the heavens.
This God who hung the stars, who hung the moon, who hung the sun, this God who knows everything about all of it, this God who feeds the sparrows. As I was waking up this morning, I could hear the birds singing outside, and I thought, the birds are not worried. The birds are not concerned about where their next meal comes from, because even they know that God provides for all of them every single day. That's how big our God is. What does He do for us as His children? I'm glad you asked. Look what He says in verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases their strength. I'm so thankful for a God that can give us strength and give us what we stand in need of. Let me close with verse number 31. And then Miss Natalie's going to sing a closing song for us. It speaks here of the eagle. The eagle is an amazing animal. I've never really studied a whole lot about eagles, but I was reading a book this week and it shared a couple of thoughts about eagles that I want to share with you. Scientists say that an eagle has 8 times better eyesight, can see 8 times better than humans. And I began to think about the talons, the claws of an eagle. It said they can grip so tight that it's like squeezing a vise. I read where eagles were built for flying. They can fly anywhere from 60, and I thought this was amazing, to 100 miles an hour. I was reading where eagles, their wingspan was, most of them was 8 feet, their wingspan. And I was reading where eagles were made for soaring. They just soared through the sky. Eagles are so gifted that the updraft in the universe, the winds that come blowing through, eagles are so wise and so smart that they know how to position their bodies into that updraft. And when they pick up on that, it just continues to move them up higher and higher and higher into the skies. And not one time does an eagle ever have to flap their wings. They just soar and they catch that updraft. And I was reading where some eagles can soar so high into the skies that a human's eye can't even see them. They get completely out of sight in the updraft. You'll never see an eagle panicking and flapping their wings and fighting the air. They just soar. And that's why eagles can go for miles and miles and miles and never lose their strength. Wow. What is Isaiah saying when he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord," just wait on God. Just wait on the Lord. And watch what His mighty hand can do. What is He saying? "But they that wait upon the Lord shall," here's a promise, "renew." That means to make new again. Renew their strength. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You know what God dealt with me about? Stop fighting. Stop trying to figure it all out and stop falling and rest in the power of a mighty God. And just as that eagle can soar and it catches that updraft and keeps getting higher and higher and higher and higher, the promise that Isaiah has given us in the very Word of God is this: we can't do this within ourselves, but God can. We can't figure all of this out, but God knows. We don't even know what's coming up tomorrow, but our God is already in tomorrow. And when we lay our heads on our pillows tonight, we can rest assured that we're serving a big God. And you can say this to yourself according to the Word of God: "My God that I serve, He's got this." He's not wringing His hands in heaven going, "Oh no, angels, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no, how is all this going to work? Oh no, comfort ye one another. Comfort people through the Scriptures." Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And let Him renew our strength.
and quit trying to fight this thing and just relax in the arms of God. My prayer is, as you know the Son of God, Jesus Christ, my prayer is there's been a time in your life that you've called on Him to be your Savior and Lord so that you can experience the rest and the strength that God can give to the children of God. That's my prayer today. As I was looking back through my notes this morning, God laid a song on my heart that our choir sings. And boy, I wish our choir was here. What a blessing it would be if Brother David was up here right now and our choir was from wall to wall and fixing to sing this song. I'm excited about the day that we get to meet back in the sanctuary at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. But listen to this song that our choir sings. Miss Natalie's going to sing it for us. It kind of summarizes Isaiah chapter number 40.
He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. Sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. Step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. I'm so thankful, Lord, that You know. You know everything that's going on. And I pray today, God, that this message and these songs has brought comfort to the people that are listening. And Lord, if it has, I pray that we would take this comfort from the Word of God and we would share it with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.